are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and Lord, let it speak to us today. Let us change where we're at to be more in the likeness of you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So today, I said it was a surprise last Sunday night when I spoke about what I'm going to speak about today. So we've had many different Jesuses. And if you have a look at the board up there, there's many that we've had. Most of those are up there. There are some that aren't, and we're not even halfway through the year. So it's been a fantastic series, and really enjoying it. Today, Jesus is Lord. And so as we come around this, let's see where God takes us this morning. Luke 2:11 says, "For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord," the Messiah, in brackets, in the Amplified Version. When we have a look at that, quite often, particularly in modern times, it's probably not so much in the times of when the disciples worked with Jesus, we relate to Jesus as Saviour because he saves us. And it's got a great connotation to it, and that is truth. That is absolute truth, that he saves us. Where the rubber hits the road is the Lord part. Jesus is Lord. In the New Testament, the word Lord comes from the Greek word kyrios, meaning owner, master, power, and authority. Even titles like Sir and others have been translated to English from the Greek word kyrios in the New Testament. And so, you know, kyrios is behind a lot of those, and it doesn't necessarily refer to Jesus in those moments in the New Testament. So leaders, slave owners, parents and employees or employers, anyone in authority can be referred to in this way as Lord in the New Testament. But there's very specific moments where we see in Scripture where Jesus is Lord, as in the Messiah, as in Adonai. He is Yahweh. And so there are those moments where it's really clearly translated. But anyone in authority in the New Testament is kind of if you have a look at the Greek word behind it, it is kyrios. So I thought I'd give you a quick story on authority. I gave this story quite a number of years ago, but I thought it was good on authority and those in authority. A DEA officer, Drug Enforcement Administration in the state, stopped at a ranch in Texas and talked with an old rancher. He told the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher said, "Okay, no problem, you go for it." He said, "But don't go in that field over there." And as he pointed out the location, the DEA officer got quite stroppy at that, and he verbally exploded, and saying, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." And reaching into the rear pocket in his pants, he removed his badge and proudly displayed it to the rancher. And he said, "This is the authority that I operate under. This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish, on any land, wherever. No questions asked. or answers given? Have I made myself clear? Do you understand? He said to the rancher. The rancher nodded, politely apologized, and went about his chores. A short time later, the old rancher heard loud screams, looked up, and saw the DEA officer running for his life, being chased by the rancher's big Santa Gertrudis bull. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on the officer, and it seemed likely that he'd sure enough get gored before he reached safety. The officer was clearly terrified. The rancher threw down his tools, ran to the fence, and yelled out to the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" That is not the way Jesus operates in our life. He is not Lord. He doesn't show us his badge. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things that have been created and we believers exist and have life and have been redeemed through him." We see in Philippians 2:9-11, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." So today, we can recognize through what we see in Scripture that Jesus is Lord. And from my point of view, what I see in Scripture, Jesus is Lord. But let me ask you a question today. Is he your Lord? Is he your master? Is he your owner? Is he your authority? Last week, we had a great message by Andy about Jesus is faithful. Love the message, and it was a really good message. And he gave us a bit of an understanding of Jesus being faithful, and he told about how, you know, it doesn't matter what glasses you wear when you're looking at the sky is blue, regardless. Regardless of how you see Jesus being Lord, he is Lord. He is Lord over all the earth. But the question today for you is Jesus Lord? Is he the Lord of your time, of your friendships, of your thoughts, of your ambitions? Is he the Lord of your work? Is he the Lord of the gifts that he has given you, the skills that he has given you? Is he the Lord of your dreams, even when they don't quite go to plan? Is he the Lord of your relationships? Is he the Lord of your emotions? Is he the Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your character? What do I mean by that? When only God can see what's going on in your life, is he Lord? Is he Lord of your home? Is he Lord of your money? Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whatever you do," that means anything you do, "whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed. Do everything, not some things, not a little bit, not the odd thing here and there. It says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in dependence on him, give thanks to God the Father through him. So everything you do, can you put the name of the Lord Jesus beside it? Is he Lord over every circumstance? Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Shortly following that, Jesus goes into about our foundation, whether it's built on a rock or whether it's built on a shaky foundation. And he says that when we allow him to be Lord and we do the things that he says, we're on a sure foundation. Revelation 3:20. And this is a bit about how God is and how he works. And I love what, you know, they shared in what Andy shared about communion. Revelation 3:20 in the Passion Translation says, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you and you will feast with me. Listen. He is knocking. You know, the process of growth in our lives and our walk with Christ is that very thing. Jesus is always knocking. Are we listening or allowing him to speak into our lives? And there are some things that we hold dear to us that are ours that we don't want to hand to Jesus because we're not sure exactly which way it might go if we do. And he's always calling us. He's always knocking, saying, what about this? What about that area? What about this moment? What about that friend? I remember last year, I was sitting here on the front row and Graham, I can't remember exactly the title of the message, but I know he was talking about money. And in the lead up to that, and I'll try and explain it as best I can, over a period of months, I'd received extra amounts of money, not deliberately, but by accident, into one of our accounts. And it had been brought to my attention that we'd received that money, and I hadn't been watching our accounts closely. But once I was shown that that was the case, I was notified that it was okay, it was a mistake, and I didn't have to pay it back. And so I sat on it for a little bit, and then I had this small voice coming into my head. And I knew it wasn't Satan because he was asking me to pay it back. And so in the lead up to that morning, I'd been battling through this, and I can't remember the exact challenge, but at the moment that it came, there was a challenge put forward, and I felt that I needed to respond to that, which meant that it was time to not just acknowledge it, but to actually do something about it. And it was a significant amount of money, and I've got three kids in private school, and so the budget's tight. But the outworking of that and making the decision to pay that money, and I did it over a period of months, and I'm not doing it to pat on the back. I'm trying to show you how God works. And in and through the process, I sat down and I started getting into a little bit more budgeting, and I was dialoguing with Andy Hunt about being involved with. So I've got this budgeting app and I'm right into budgeting. I never have been in my life, but love it. And so I put this budget together after I'd made the decision. And as I put the budget together, I wish I hadn't made the decision to return the money, because we were a little bit short. And in the process, I thought, God, how are we going to do this? And he said, you've allowed me to be Lord of your life, I'm going to deal with it and it's going to be okay. And over a period of 6 months, we were short by a significant amount at the start of each month on the budget of what the expenses were going to be at the end. But can I tell you, at the end of every month except one, we were ahead. And that is not my goodness, that's God's goodness and what he does. And that is a real testimony for me. And there's a little bit more of the story I want to tell you in a minute. But that's his testimony to me of what happens when we actually make Jesus his Lord. When everything we see in our eyes doesn't make sense of how we're going to allow him to make a difference in our life, we've got to trust and believe and make Jesus Lord. But it's in the small decisions that we make. And I ask today that there's one thing that God challenges you on this morning, or one thing he gives you where you say, God, I am going to make you Lord of that area of my life. I encourage you to do it. He is faithful, like Andy preached last week, and he will see you through. I'm telling you. Jesus came as Lord to show us a better way. In Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. See, Jesus is about transformation of brokenness and deception, which Satan has deceived humanity. But Jesus is about changing us to his way because it's going to be better for us in the long run. And he does it bit by bit. He's a gentleman. He's knocking. Are you listening? There is an amazing account in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament that gives us a picture of how Jesus transforms brokenness and restores life to how he originally wanted it. I believe Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah is a type of how Jesus works in our lives. It was set about 1,000 years after Moses and 400 years before Jesus. The Babylonians, a type of the world, had conquered the Jews and Jerusalem lay in ruins. Most of the Jews, and there were about 3 million of them, were deported to Babylon and made homes for themselves there. Now, it's interesting, Andy spoke last week about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were part of, or Abednego, Andy. Abednego. What, that's, you've pronounced it wrong last week, buddy. You got it wrong. But they were part of the group that actually went to Babylon, and that story is set in that time when Nebuchadnezzar was king. And they made home for themselves, and after about 70 years, about 50,000 of the Jews began to return. They were allowed to return to Jerusalem, which was pretty much at that time a ghost town. The temple in the city was rebuilt, and there were attempts to rebuild the city walls, but the enemies continued to stop it happening. Those living in unwalled cities, in constant stress and tension, they never knew when they might be attacked and brutalized. Every man lived in constant fear for his wife and his children. The temple could be rebuilt, but never made beautiful. Hear that? Never made beautiful, because anything valuable would be taken easily. Finally, about 150 years after the Babylonians conquered the Jews, and it was around 150, not exact, God called Nehemiah, a type of Jesus, to rebuild the walls. As Jesus has rebuilt and is rebuilding and restoring the walls in all our lives. A short commentary says this: without the miraculous intervention of God, the temple and the walls of Jerusalem would not have been rebuilt. God used Nehemiah so that the walls, the gates and doors were repaired and rebuilt. Nehemiah, as I said, is a type of Jesus who, as the Lord of our lives, if we let him, can repair and rebuild areas that are in need of repair for whatever reason. Whether we've never known what the truth is or whether it's gone into disrepair, Jesus is about repairing and rebuilding the walls. Is today a day when in a certain area or areas of your life, you need to see, Jesus, I'm going to make you Lord of my life. If we have a look at Nehemiah 3 in the New King James Version, it says this, then, and now I'm going to get in trouble for not pronouncing things correctly. Then Eliashib, that name, the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the 100 and consecrated it. They consecrated it. Everything they did, they consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachur, the son of Imri, built. That's enough of those names, no more. Now, there were many gates. If you read Nehemiah, it's an amazing story. There are many gates. So many, but the sheep gate, the fish gate, the owl gate, the horse gate, the fountain gate. There was a fountain gate. And they're all rebuilt. The gates were the critical entry and exit points to the city. And the places most likely to see an enemy attack. Where are your vulnerabilities? Therefore, the work started at each gate and worked out from there. Which gate needs repairing this morning? Where are you vulnerable? Is it your time? Is it your friendships? Is it your thoughts? As in, you're doing it your way. Is it your ambitions? Is it your work? Is it your gifts and skills? Is it your dreams, your relationships, your emotions, your marriage, your character, home, money, whatever it is? I may not, that is not an exhaustive list, but God is speaking to you today if you know which area it is. What are you holding dear and not allowing Jesus to be Lord of in your life? I just want to read this. Nehemiah 4:14-15. When I saw their fear, I stood and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them confidently. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and with courage from him, fight for your brothers, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your homes. Now, when our enemies heard that we knew their plot against us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to war, each one to his work. There are people here today who have put down the whole restore, repair place in their lives. God's been doing a work and you've dropped it because of fear or whatever, or life's got too hard. Can I just tell you about a little bit more of that story about God's faithfulness? When I shared that story about money, you never know how it's going to outwork. Well, a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to share that story with one of my kids who was working through something in his own life. And I could see a light went on about God's power to take a situation and turn it round. And that if we trust in him, if we make Jesus Lord, that it may not always be easy, but he shows us a better way of doing things. And I read that scripture and I thought, it's more than just about what he does in our lives. It's about all the people we come into contact with. If we make Jesus Lord of every area, and that may mean some significant changes for some of us. It's a constant thing. God's constantly showing us. You know, the thing about money that God showed me last year, there'll be something else coming up. I know because he's constantly wanting to grow and change us more into his image. But if we don't make Jesus Lord of those areas, we don't give him the opportunity to change us. There are times when in some or many areas of our lives, when for whatever reason, that we just want to leave well enough alone. We don't want to be challenged or let Jesus be Lord because we think it might cost us too much. It might be inconvenient. What will others think if I stand up for Jesus like that? If I make him Lord over that area? If we allow Jesus his way, he will repair, rebuild, restore to better than we can ever imagine. Today, Jesus is Lord, regardless of what you think. But for you personally, is Jesus Lord? I want you to consider, you might think, it's just too big, Chris. It's too hard to, all the stuff that I've got to deal with. Allow God to show you one thing today. And he'll step it out one by one. Don't look at other situations and other people and say, what about them? Look at their life. How do you get to that? That's not what it's about. Jesus is Lord of your life. You're responsible for your walk with him. What are you going to make him Lord of today? If we truly believe that he came to give us life and life to the full, then we can trust his ways are higher than our ways. You can lay down control and submit to his lordship, knowing that he has your back. He will not allow the walls that are broken to remain the way they are. He will make a way where there is no way. He will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Will you trust him to be Lord over all of your life? I challenge you. He loves you. He has proven it. Give over the title to your heart in the safe hands of Jesus and allow him to be Lord over all. One thing. It's 11:25. There's time to do some business with God. I don't want any music. If you know there's an area or areas in your life that you need to make Jesus Lord of because you've been doing it your own way for so long, all I want you to do is I just want you to raise your hand and acknowledge it. If you know that God is speaking to you today, right where you are, I just want you to put your hand up. Keep it up high. Awesome. Okay, you put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. If we had the worship team come out now, Andy, that'd be great. There might be some decisions that you've got to make today that you've got to outwork. Don't put your hand up and not do anything about it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Make a decision. You know, and I haven't gone into the details of those things that I mentioned, but make a decision to find out what God says about it. If you sense that something's not right, go to his word and find out. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. He's knocking. Are you listening? Go and talk to someone you trust that can line up with the word. But take that moment and make Jesus Lord of that situation. And for some today, you might be sitting here and you said, you know, I've nominally gone about being a Christian and I come to church, but I've never actually let God take over my life. Now, if that's you today, I want you to come and see me straight after and I want to pray with you. So let's pray together and then we're going to finish with Behold if we can. Is that all right? Let's pray. Everyone pray. God, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you, regardless of what we think, that you are Lord of every circumstance. You are Lord over everything. And God, we just want to lift you up to that highest place today. And Lord, individually for each of us, Father, I pray that as you challenge us for different areas of our lives, Lord, it's our walk with you and it's our responsibility in life. Lord, I pray that you would help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to outwork those and make decisions of lordship today and outwork them over the next hours and days and weeks and months. Just have a real sense that there's some people here, you need to go and see some people today and apologise for some things. Ask for forgiveness. You're too scared to do it because you're not sure how it's going to outwork. And there may be some people here who do need to make decisions about money, about friendships and relationships. So God, help us. You're knocking. Are we listening? Lord, we want to give you all the honour and all the glory today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I just want to finish with this scripture before we sing. Colossians, and you can look at it on the screens. Colossians 1, 15 to 18. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. For he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord over all your circumstances today? Amen.
Good morning, church. Could the hospitality team please distribute the elements? Thank you very much. So a little bit different this morning. We're going to take this opportunity to present a new song from LMC Worship. The song is called What Kind of Love? So I'm just going to share a little bit about the background of where the song came from. And we just really felt this is the perfect opportunity to do that with the theme. So last year we took some time out to specifically seek God in relation to writing songs from this church and for this church. We felt that was what God was leading us to do. And we spent time individually leading up to this for a couple of months. And then we went away for an evening and a day and just really dedicated time to hearing from God and working that. And we came up with a couple of different themes that we felt God was speaking, that he wanted us to write for the church. One of them was the dry bones, and that we brought that song a while ago, You're Reviving Me. The other theme was God's love. And as we talked about that and prayed about that, we came up with some things that God gave to us that then proceeded into this song. And the first thing was a scripture from Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the Message version is slightly different than that the second verse 8. God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. And that sort of begged the question, what kind of love is this? What kind of love? I mean, the scripture says not God demonstrates love for us in this, or not God demonstrates his love for us in this. He demonstrates his own love for us. This is a different kind of love. This is something that we can't imagine. And we spent time alone, is separated off into just to meditate and think and write as we could. And I took this away, and God was really stirring this in my heart. And I ended up with a raining, windy, freezing cold day. I ended up sitting in my car with the heater on, meditating on this, and that God began to give me a fresh revelation of this love. His own love. What type of love is this? What kind of love is this? And I'm not good at writing songs. I've tried to write songs. I play guitar, but it doesn't mean you can write songs. It's not comfortable for me. It's very frustrating. But I enjoy poetry. I enjoy writing poetry. I studied literature in school and really enjoyed poetry. And God began to move me in such a way that I wrote a poem, and that poem has then progressed to become lyrics for this song. The imagery, some of the imagery in verse 2 is straight out of Song of Songs. I just really love the way this metaphor, it shows the passion. It gives that understanding of the desire that and the wildness that God has for us. I was very intentional in some sections when we wrote these lyrics. There's the line in the chorus that says, "This love overwhelms me and draws me to my knees." God's love is overwhelming. It is not overbearing. He doesn't bring us to our knees. He doesn't force us to our knees. As we begin to understand and have a revelation just what kind of love this is, it draws us to our knees in awe, in wonder and adoration. It's something that we just can't understand. There's a line in the bridge that says that, "Though I called myself a sinner, you have called me child." And this is written from my point of reference. When I was writing the poem, it was very personal. And so I was saying God was revealing to me afresh his love. I've come from a Christian background. I grew up in the church, in this church. My parents are very involved in the church, continue to be so. I understand, I've had the revelation before of salvation. I understand salvation and that, I'm no longer a sinner. And so that's not written from the pre-salvation when I'm saying I call myself a sinner. This is not talking about our sin state before we were separated from Christ, but this is after we've received salvation and walking the Christian walk. The Bible says that you become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I still sin, but that's not my identity, because I am made righteous through faith, which is explained in Romans 3. So this line, what this line talks about is when we stumble, when we make mistakes, when the enemy gets in our ear and we speak things over our life that are not the truth and they don't bring life. No matter how bad we think we are or how much of a sinner we call ourselves, no matter what label I put on myself, God calls me child. It's personal. So we're going to bring this song and play it for you. As you hold the elements, just listen. Just consider what kind of love. What kind of love is it that would pay the highest price for a broken and imperfect person? It would, as Romans says, offer his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Just when, as you feel led during the song, just take the elements. I just really pray that God give us all a fresh revelation of that love this morning.